You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Christina Michelle. Have Bike Will Travel, and boy did he travel, about 6,000 miles from the Florida Keys to Prudhoe Bay. That was 2 years ago. Today, Gary Radford is 64 years old and still finding new frontiers. He's here in Juneau to visit his daughter. Welcome to Juneau, Gary.
Thank you, Christina.
So did you bring your bicycle with you?
No, I did not on this trip, but I did work on my daughter's bicycle yesterday.
Does she cycle as well?
Not to the extent that I do.
Okay, maybe one day.
Yes.
So Gary, where is home for you?
Cicero, New York, just a little bit north of Syracuse, about 300 miles from New York City.
Okay, nice. And what is it like there during this time? It's a little rainy for us.
Beautiful. Our summers are incredible. We're on the lee of Lake Ontario. Days are not real hot. Nights usually are comfortable. Winters, we get quite a bit of snow. You know, 150 inches of snow is not uncommon for the winter there. But, you know, like Juneau and the rain, you learn how to deal with it and you thrive eventually.
Absolutely. Well, what made you decide to go on a 6,000-mile bicycle trip?
Well, I thought it would be a challenge. I wanted to do it to inspire people to push their limits, to not only physically but mentally. And I had been a long-distance cyclist before this. I had twice before cycled across the United States from San Francisco to Bar Harbor, Maine. And the last time that I did that trip, I did it with my wife. So I had somebody understanding that when I broached this subject that I wasn't thrown out of the house. So I just wanted to push my limits. And also, I belong to an elite running club, and I wanted to do something for our running club. So I set up this this challenge where people could donate a penny a mile to support me and to support the club. All the money, 100%, went to the club.
Nice.
And we raised over $12,000 for the running club. And our running club supports youth programs, post-collegiate runners, hopefully future Olympians, masters runners like myself. And we're kind of a cradle to the grave running club, and I wanted to give back to the Genesee Valley Harriers, which I belong to.
Wow, that's fantastic! So, you said that you started to really push your limits, and I'm wondering, like, how did you come up with the route that you chose?
Took a look at a map with a friend of mine. Did all blue highways. If you took a look at the old maps that you used to get from like AAA and stuff, those blue highways are the little two-lane roads that run crisscross across America and Canada. And just picked out a route that was pretty direct. You know, it's kind of diagonal from Key West up to Prudhoe Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to pick places also where there were towns, you know, riding 12, sometimes 14, 16 hours a day, you wanted to be able to run into maybe a convenience store,
yeah,
or a restaurant and you know, fuel up. And we chose the route like that. But it was harder and harder the farther north you got. Once you got up into, you know, western Minnesota, into North Dakota, and then up in the Canadian provinces, you know, the towns were fewer and far between. So you had to plan ahead more as far as carrying the food with you. And I did this all unsupported. I had a bicycle with panniers, bags, saddlebags, front and rear on the bike. And I had sleeping bag, tent, cook stove, spare parts for the bicycle, week's worth of food with me. And all together with the bicycle, I had 104 and a half pounds of gear that I was toting.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell people that are used to riding, you know, like a 10-speed bicycle, you know, everybody's been on a 10-speed. Well, that would be kind of like a Miata sports car compared to what I was riding would be like a Peterbilt tractor trailer. Much heavier, a little bit harder to propel, lot harder to stop. And you had to plan your moves ahead, you know, a little bit more. And it was a challenge.
I can imagine. So how did you manage meal times and, you know?
Well, I was eating constantly. I was burning between 5,000 and 6,000 calories a day. And being in constant motion, being in that saddle 12 to 16 hours a day, you really had to make sure that you kept the fuel in you constantly. You couldn't start out in the morning and not have a good breakfast and not really have anything until lunchtime, or you're going to bonk. You're going to reach a point where you're not going to come back that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's detrimental to your health. So, you know, get up in the morning, eat some breakfast, ride for maybe a couple hours, stop for another breakfast, ride a bit more. You're constantly eating things like power bars or drinking Gatorade, stopping for lunch, and eating through the afternoon. And I would do that as I was riding. You know, I would just keep that food going in. Certainly made sure I had the fluids in me.
Sure.
Especially when you're down in the southern states. You know, I had temperatures in the high 90s. I had one day it was 101 degrees in South Florida.
Ooh.
So you had to make sure that you had, you know, the fluids in you. But as you got farther north, you had to worry about being cold and being dressed for that. And that made it much harder. That and not being able to stop everywhere for food. I was eating more freeze-dried food.
Okay.
Wasn't getting, I don't think, the caloric intake that I needed. And I might have been able to last another week or maybe two. At the end of it, I was really starting to get thin.
Mm.
And I think that maybe my body would have been in trouble if I had to go much more than that. So
I'm glad you listened to your body.
That's right. That's right. But boy, I was pretty fit by the end of it and very lean.
That is so awesome. What was your experience like with people as you were traveling?
It was the best part of the whole trip.
I can
without
imagine.
A doubt. People see you on a bicycle and they see you all loaded down with gear. And the first question out of their mouth is, where are you coming from?
Yeah.
You know, and in the beginning, you know, if you're in like Key Largo and you say, oh, well, I started in Key West, not much of a big deal. And then they'd ask, the second question was always, well, where are you going to? I say, well, Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. Well, when you're in Key Largo, you're getting laughter after that second question. You know, what are you dreaming? Is this a pipe dream? You know, but the farther along you got on this journey, you know, you'd say, well, I started 3 weeks ago in Key West, and now you're in North Dakota. You know, they're looking at you, and that's inspiring you. They go,
absolutely.
Wow, you're going to Prudhoe Bay. That's awesome. You know, so the farther you went, you kind of built on that. And, you know, people inspired me as much as hopefully I inspired them.
Yeah, it reminds me of Boris Gump and when he just started running.
That's right. Well, I didn't get up to Prudhoe Bay and turn around and come back again.
That's really cool. So you can't take much on your bike, and you already talked about some of the things that you did have on there. How did you manage, like, your time, like, during the day? I know you said that you would stop a couple times to eat and things like that, but did you have a plan or?
Well, I did have a plan in one respect that I would look at each. I'd break things down into manageable bits.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out on a journey like this, it can be overwhelming. You know, you're in Key West and you're looking north and you're thinking, you know, 2 months from now, you know, hopefully I'm going to be up in Alaska. That's an awful lot to comprehend, you know, to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at the morning that you were in, and said, okay, I'm going to deal with this morning. This is my ride. This is kind of where I think that I can stop, but I don't know because I've never been to these places before. You might roll into what looks like a town on a map, and it might have been a town at one time, and it isn't any longer. You have to adjust to that. But you just have to break it down. You don't look at tomorrow or next week or next month. You just look at the moment you're in. You look at that morning, and you know, after a while, all of a sudden, you know, you're in Minnesota. You know, how did that happen? Because I was just worrying about this morning. And I think in life, you know, there's a lot of life lessons there, that many times in life we get overwhelmed with whatever it is in our situation. And if we can just break things down into manageable bits and look at maybe just this hour, or maybe, yes, you know, if you have substance abuse or whatever, that minute or, yep, whatever, and just deal with the moment.
Absolutely.
And then you can build on that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, if you've got this huge, you know, trip ahead of you, like, what keeps you going? Was there any times when you felt like you wanted to turn back?
Oh, there's times, you know, being in the prairie and having a headwind that's blowing 25 or 30 miles an hour for 12 hours straight.
Oof.
And you're just looking at the next telephone pole and saying, I'm going to make it to the next pole. And the next pole,
yes,
and you might look ahead and see that grain elevator off in the distance, and you say, after so many poles, I'm going to be there. And then you look at the next pole, and that goes on for 12 hours.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then you wake up the next morning, and the wind's blowing just as hard. You know, it takes some mental perseverance. It does. And I think that I've built some of that through my life. Certainly that trip made me tougher. And, you know, I'm not a young guy either. I'm 64 years old. And I think as we age, we might not be as physically strong as we were back, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. But I think we learn a lot about patience, mm-hmm, and how to understand our body, how to be patient and let things come to you. I rode my bicycle up every hill and every mountain along the way. I never got off and pushed my bicycle. Not one foot I didn't.
Wow.
But I had this mantra that I'd let the hill come to me. I would sit back there and I would just spin, and I wouldn't worry about the top. I would just let that hill just move towards me. And I think that you do little mental things like that to get you through those tough times. You know,
wow,
count those telephone poles or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so relatable to life, like you said. It's just...
It is.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It is.
So what new records did you set for yourself? I can imagine there were probably dozens, if not hundreds.
Well, I think that we anytime we do something as challenging, we come away from it a little bit more enlightened.
Mm.
I can't say that without a doubt nobody has done this trip before, because you really don't know. I know that mine is documented, that I had a satellite tracker with me, and people could follow me online. They could look at my satellite tracker.
Okay.
They could see the direction I was going in, how fast I was going, what elevation I was at.
Yeah.
And so I have documentation that I did the trip. There's no question about that. But you know, maybe somebody else, you know, beforehand had done that. So I never looked at it like I was trying to set some kind of record.
Mm.
People have asked me, well, you know, did you submit anything to Guinness Book of World Records? And that's really not me, you know. I that's not what I was looking for. I was just looking to challenge myself.
Yeah.
And also looking to inspire other people to say, hey, you know what, this guy did this. Maybe I'll get my bike out tonight and I'll ride around the block, and maybe a week from now, I'll go a little bit farther. And you know what? This guy did this. He's, you know, 62 years old. Boy, you know, I'm 55. I can do something. Maybe I'll go on a bike trip, you
yes.
know? So that's what I was looking for.
Nice. Well, now I have a new example of...
You ready to go for a bike trip?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But I hear a lot of people saying, you know, even, you know, just standing up and their knees crack or something, and they're like,
oh, mine do that.
It's because I'm getting old. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
But part of that is it's just in your mind.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
And I can say, well, I know Gary, okay.
Right. Well, I have my aches and pains. And actually, 8 months before I left on this trip, I tore my Achilles tendon.
Ooh.
And I had to have surgery. And I was in a running race and, you know, hoping to do well in the race. And right before the finish, bang, I just tore my Achilles, practically did a cartwheel.
Ooh.
And had to have surgery. They took the tendon out of my big toe, and they made an Achilles tendon out of it, so I can't bend my big toe now. And they said, well, geez, we think you can walk around without a limp, but we're not really sure how well you're going to be able to do running from here on out. So I was in a cast and in a boot, you know, several months, and got in a pool and started aqua jogging with a flotation belt on, not touching the bottom of the pool, started swimming a bit, got on a bicycle, and started spinning on the bike, and went to the Y, and I'd get on the bike in the morning, and I'd be on it for an hour, and then a little while later, it might be 2 hours, and after a while, the staff was coming in at the Y in the morning, and I was on the bicycle. They'd take a lunch break and go out to lunch. I was still on the bicycle.
Oh,
and they'd
my
leave to
goodness.
Go home at 5 o'clock at night, and I was still on the bicycle. And before I left on this trip, I did 4,000 miles on the bicycle, and I was training 8 to 10 hours a day just to be prepared for it. And I reached a point in the spring. I said, geez, I'm getting pretty fit on the bike here. And, you know, I want to do something that's challenging, and came up with this idea and started looking at routes and put the thing together in about a month's time, actually. I really decided about May 1st that that's when I told my wife anyway. And she goes, you're really going to do this? I said, yeah, you know, this wasn't a joke. And yeah, I left June 1st from Key West and arrived up in Prudhoe Bay on the 5th of August. And 66 days altogether. It was 5,535.25 miles, but who's counting? And yeah, and I had to push myself. You know, it might have been easier to do it in the other direction because the weather would have been nicer down south longer, but I thought it would be tougher to go from Key West up to Prudhoe Bay because I know the summers up in the Arctic are so short. So, and actually when I got above the Arctic Circle and I was in the Brooks Range, I had a couple of snowstorms that I battled that last week. And, you know, I had some days the temperature, you know, would be starting out in upper 20s and some snow. And there's lots of mud up on that Dalton Highway. And I carried a toilet bowl brush with my bicycle and I'd have to whisk off either the mud or the snow, you know, every so often. And, it was it definitely got tougher the farther north that I went.
Yeah. You said you were working or biking 8 to 10 hours a day even before your trip. So that sounds almost like an obsession.
Well, it has to be. If you're going to do something like that, you have to be prepared. You can't hop on a bicycle and plan on doing anything that long and wind up being healthy. Just sitting on a leather bicycle saddle for 12, 14, 16 hours a day, you better be pretty
prepared
in a lot of ways, you know, not only the mental part of it of being on a bicycle that long, but the physical, just sitting down, you know. You talk to any person that's on a long distance bicycle trip and you ask them what the toughest part is, and a lot of them will say the toughest part is sitting, you know.
What do your wife and daughter think of all this?
Hopefully they're inspired by it.
Yeah.
My wife, as I said earlier, rode across the United States with me before, and we've done some shorter bicycle trips, New York up to Maine in recent years. We rode out to visit some friends in Kansas a few years back. So she kind of understands what long-distance cycling is about, and she certainly understands how I'm wired, and maybe that's one of the reasons why she married me. I don't know.
That's beautiful. So, Gary, what's next for you?
That's a good question. I got to give a little bit of time here to absorb some of this. I'm working on a book right now. And but there'll be other challenges. Just off the top of my head, I was pretty intrigued when I crossed the Mississippi River and looked at that river and thought, boy, wouldn't it be kind of cool to hop in a kayak and maybe start up in the headwaters in Minnesota and go down to New Orleans. And I've thought about that. I'd be interested. A shorter trip, I'd like to try to cross Death Valley in the summertime. I think that would be a challenge. And certainly I want to someday, hopefully with my wife, travel across the southern part of the United States from maybe like San Diego to St. Augustine, Florida, and cycle across the southern states. I haven't done that before. And I think that would be a fun trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not 100-mile days, but, you know, maybe like 50-mile days and, you know, kind of take it all in slowly.
Do you still bike every day now?
Most often. On this trip, I've been up in Alaska now going on 3 weeks, just on a vacation.
Okay.
So we rented an RV, you know, and did
nice.
The camping thing. And I've done quite a bit of camping in Alaska in the past. So left the bicycle at home, believe it or not. But before that, I've probably got maybe going on 3,000 miles in this year on the bicycle so far.
Oh, my goodness. You're about 2,950 miles ahead of me.
Yeah. You know, and mostly they're shorter rides, you know. Where I live is a beautiful place to ride. Upstate New York, there's hills, there's areas that are flat. There's the Finger Lakes, which are beautiful. And just out my door, I can have flat or hills, and I can have it all. So it's really nice. But there's other trips planned for the future. I just gotta have a little bit of time before I say anything right now. So,
well, Gary, I don't know if all of us are ready to ride 6,000 miles, but how do we get started on our own journeys towards reclaiming our health?
Well, do a little bit at a time. You know, walk out that door, walk around the block. Don't try to do anything epic right from the start. Keep it very small. Build on that. Hardest part, without a doubt, is just getting your butt out the door.
Yeah.
Once you start, it gets easier. It does. And after a while, it becomes a habit. And that's the main thing. You don't have to do anything like this, but just do a little bit each day. And, you know, it's good for you mentally and certainly physically.
Absolutely. Great advice. Gary Radford, thanks for coming to Juno Afternoon to share your inspiring story and for giving us some of your time during your visit with your daughter.
Well, thank you. This is my pleasure.
We appreciate it.